Hello and welcome to the Art of Oppression podcast. These podcasts offer the opportunity to hear from artists and or activists who express and articulate their experiences of oppression or inequity using creative means. My name is Patricia Francis. If you listen to the last The Art of Oppression podcast, you'll know that we've been talking with Zita Holborn, and I'm pleased to say we can continue that conversation now. Hi, Zita.
Hi, greetings. It's great to be back.
Lovely. I am interested in voice in my work and the social, political, patriarchal and hegemonic means by which certain voices are silenced. I first encountered your voice in one of my many in one of your many change.org campaigns, and I perceived it as a woman's voice on its own, familiar with battle. Did it ever feel like that to you?
No, I don't think I ever felt like I'm on my own. A petition, you know, will go up in one person's name, but actually thousands and thousands of people, sometimes hundreds of thousands of people have signed the petitions I've started, and the petition will be part of a wider campaign that I'm involved in on an issue. So, yeah, I never really feel that I'm by myself. I might be fronting it and it's my name that you see, but I'm part of a collective of others doing that work.
And in terms of the collective, are you the voice that leads the collective? Are you the person that brings the people together? Do you do that? Because for me, surely there is a skill in that.
I definitely do that, but each campaign is different. So there might be, you know, a number of people. There might be somebody else that's taking the lead in a particular campaign, and I'm involved. So it's a mixture. But yeah, you do need somebody to initiate and have the sort of enthusiasm. And the leadership to drive it, because otherwise it's going to fall apart if you don't have either one person or, you know, a group of people that are there to lead something and coordinate it.
And how do you, I'm always so impressed with the skill to be able to bring so many people together, for them to be able to motivate them to the point where they will go out on the streets, you know, because it's so easy for people to say, oh yeah, I agree, but I'll support it from here. Yeah, I suppose that's it really. How are you able to just bring these masses of people together? Yeah.
I guess it's about being honest and truthful and passionate and using my own voice. And, you know, I try to speak to my own lived experiences and to tell the stories of others who are the people we're campaigning for, because that's really important, to tell their stories. And sometimes that means telling their stories in quite a detailed way or a graphic way, which might not be comfortable for people to hear or know about, but it's also very important, because if you don't understand that struggle, if you don't understand the journey that they've had to go on and what they're facing and what they're battling against, then you're not going to engage. So a lot of it, campaigning is about storytelling, not making up stories, you know, telling real stories.
You're probably aware of the Amnesty International investigation into online abuse against women MPs that revealed that Diane Abbott experienced a disproportionate amount of abuse, almost a third of all abusive tweets were targeted at her, and she received even more in the 6 weeks leading up to the 2017 election, which was about 45% of abuse. How vulnerable do you feel? Because a lot of your work is online, you use social media a lot. How vulnerable to abuse are you?
I am vulnerable to abuse. I have experienced abuse. I've experienced death threats. And it isn't just online. It's, you know, physical as well. Physically stalked as well as stalked online. So that threat is always there. It is, we shouldn't have to deal with those kinds of threats. And the abuse that Zion Abbott has gone through is horrendous. You know, she's one of my inspirations, that she's been able to keep going and going and going over decades, not even years, despite all of that abuse that she faces and personal attacks, does inspire me. But it's not always easy. It can be quite difficult. And it's also important for us to protect ourselves online and outside, you know, and to assess risks and take that into consideration. But at the same time, we have the right to express views, to campaign and to use our voices just like everybody else. We shouldn't have to face racist abuse, misogyny and misogynoir, and be targeted just because of who we are. When a white man doing the same thing would never face the level of abuse that we face. So it's important for us to speak out and to empower others, but we also need to create safe spaces and support each other through these things.
So do you feel protected? Do you feel that you would get the protection if you needed it, when you need it?
Yes, I have like really strong network of community, of friends, of trade unionists, of community activists, and so on. And so, yes, that protection has already been in place when it is needed for me.
And
I've experienced it firsthand.
And so you said you experienced it, death threats firsthand, and not just online. Does it ever deter you from doing what you do, from speaking out, from your activism?
Well, that's what they want you to do, to be deterred, because that's why they're doing it, to try and silence you. So it's a matter of reminding ourselves that's what their intent is, to shut us down. And if they shut me down or one person down and we are lifting the voices of others, it's also shutting those other voices down at the same time. And so, yeah, we have to strike that balance of making sure that we keep ourselves safe, but ensuring that we continue to use our voice and have a voice.
Interesting, because I was going to ask you if you've ever felt that attempts have been made to silence your voice, but I suppose this is an example of those attempts.
Yeah, that's exactly what they're doing. You know, they hurl abuse at you. They run sort of Twitter campaigns to just bombard you with tweets. And then the more sinister side of it is sometimes they try and organise others to come and track you down and target you.
Did you say track you down?
Yeah.
So physically?
Yeah. That's quite common with activists for that to happen.
And are you protected by the police?
Well, there's been times when I needed to go to the police, but no, the police don't offer protection for individuals. So you're not going to get a private police, you know, they're following you around to protect you. And actually, I wouldn't want that either. I don't really trust the police, you know, black communities face police brutality and death at the hands of the state. So no, we're not talking about police protection, I'm talking about ourselves supporting each other and ensuring that we're safe, got a network around us.
So is being quiet and not doing the work that you do ever an option for you?
I guess it depends how you define quiet. You know, there could be a time in the future where, like, you know, the next generation needs to take over the sort of campaigning side of it. So I guess, yeah, it would depend on how you define quiet. If I'm not shouting, you know, from an open-top battle bus or leading a march, it doesn't mean to say I'm quiet, because I could write a poem on the same topic, and that could be published online or in a book. And it's still a way of using my voice and expressing my feelings. Creating a piece of art and that being up in the gallery is also a way of using my voice. So I wouldn't say that I'm being quiet if I do those things. But I guess, yeah, like I said, it really depends on how you define that.
Yeah. So what does voice mean to you, Zita?
It means using a range of platforms and routes to express feelings, thoughts, ideas, to amplify the voices of those who are being silenced or find it more difficult to speak out. Those who are facing the most marginalisation, oppression and discrimination. It means like finding that power within myself to use my voice to empower others as well.
And thinking about Zita Holborn, has she evolved or is she still evolving?
Well, I think every day I'm evolving. Every day I'm learning. Every day I'm trying to challenge myself to be a better person, and also trying to balance, like, slowing down but taking up every opportunity that comes my way, which is, conflict there. But I kind of like, you know, yeah, I do need to pace myself. I can't run around and do everything all the time. I'm getting older, not younger, like all of us. But at the same time, when opportunities come my way, I feel like, okay, you know, I might not have these opportunities when I was younger. They might not have been offered to me in the same way. Do you know what I mean? Or even being considered for them. So I feel like I have a duty to myself to take up those wonderful opportunities, yeah. Because that experience of doing different things and experiencing new things is what keeps me alive and keeps me motivated and keeps me uplifted.
That's lovely. So what's next for Zita Holborn?
So I have some art commissions coming up and exhibitions coming up. I'm trying to balance what I do in terms of giving some things up and giving more focus to other things. I started writing another book just before the sort of pandemic hit, and that kind of went out the window. So I still have, I still want to do that. I still want to do more with my writing. I'm trying to, at the moment, I'm kind of living day by day, I would say. Yeah, because it's been tough going through the pandemic. It's been tough for all of us. We've just been trying to survive through this period. And it feels like we are coming out the other end, but it's still not completely safe out there. It's definitely not safe. Lots of people are still, you know, getting COVID. So the way we do things going into the future, I think, is never going to be the same again. You know, we're going to be doing things quite differently. So on one hand, I'm trying to just live day by day and get from one week to the next. But there are some exciting opportunities coming up, some workshops that I'm going to be running here in the UK and abroad, working on my next book. In the back of my mind for ages, I've wanted to do children's books and illustrate them myself as well. But I need to find the time to do that and focus on that. But it is something I would like to do. And I have a big commission coming up, which I can't talk about. It's going to take up a bit of my time over the next couple of months or so. So I'm going to have quite a focus on that, but it's quite an exciting project and I'm really looking forward to when it is in the public domain and it will be something that is available to everybody. And, you know, I think a lot of people will engage in it. Not just me involved, obviously, lots of other people. And I know that sounds a bit cryptic, but I'm not actually allowed to say any more about it. It will be later this year, yeah, from the summer to the autumn, that it will be there for the public to see.
Right. Yeah. Great. Okay. Well, I'm really looking forward to seeing that. So I'll keep an eye out for that one. Zita, we've come to the end of this episode. Thank you so much. I've really enjoyed talking with you in the conversation, hearing your ideas and opinions. I wish you continued success in all that you do. And hopefully you'll be able to squeeze a few more hours out of the 24-hour day to suit you. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for speaking with me. It's been a pleasure.